why several years ago I decided that I wasn't going to have a specific hour-long message for Easter Sunday trying to prove the resurrection. Because that's a mic drop right there. If I had one that was detached, I'd say, boom, the resurrection happened, let's go home. That is the proof that Jesus was who he said he was the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the only resurrection and life we have. No other God, no other deity, no other person has ever rose from the grave. You could say, well, what about Lazarus? I'm not going to get into Lazarus because I can get triggered by all the messages about Easter and Lazarus that are out there today about our dead dreams and all that stuff. But today, I just want to have some observations from the service. You know, the service is not about me. It's about us. You know, we have one thing that we have mutually in common together, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We may have totally different likes, totally different things, but one thing we have is Jesus Christ is the head. Nobody else. I wasn't even on the same page with the rest of my family today. They all have purple on. And I know that's how different we are. But one thing... Oh, Gil, all right. I'll give you the fist bump. Yeah. But you don't live in the house either. Amen. So, yeah, that's right. I don't have a dress on. That's what Kathy said now. That's good news nowadays. So, amen. But one of the things that really struck me just in the reading of the scriptures this morning was in John chapter 20. And two seemingly conflicting things here is in verse number 17 to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene at the tomb of Jesus Christ, Jesus saith unto her in verse number 16, Mary. You know, Jesus knew who she was, even in that early morning hour, she knew, or he knew, that it was Mary. It's interesting. Now I know why I chose Psalm 139. God knows us inside and out. Jesus knew Mary personally. Now we won't go into any theorizing that people have about how personally he knew her, or the theology that behind why he said, don't touch me. But that's what he said. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Let's go ahead to a little further up. In verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto him, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This was the later on the same day when Mary and the others went and proclaimed the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. In verse number 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither my finger. Thomas wasn't there 8 days later. And right away Jesus knew to say, reach hither my finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thine hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Here was Thomas. We know him as Doubting Thomas. And that he did. Jesus proved by that proof of his wounds on his hands who he was. And Thomas reached in. Now many would say that Mary Magdalene wasn't allowed to touch because she would stain Jesus and he wouldn't be able to go into the Father. That's one of the theories out there. That can't be true. He told Thomas to thrust in his side. What's the difference? Thomas, even though he was a disciple of Jesus, as Mary Magdalene was a disciple of Jesus, not a big A apostle, but a disciple of Jesus, Mary believed. Mary had faith to know who Jesus was in spite of her reputation. Now Thomas, he had a reputation of being one also, as one as being with the Lord, and he doubted. See? Amen? What's the bottom line? It doesn't matter what your state is in life today. Jesus Christ tells the doubting one to reach hither his hand. And he receives the most lowest of low in their own minds. That's the bottom line. No matter what, no matter what state in life you're in, Jesus Christ knows your thoughts, knows your mind. He could tell what the disciples were thinking. He knew what the Pharisees were thinking, that they wouldn't receive him. So he knows all of our thoughts. Scary to some, but comforting to others. Let's go in. What's one of the other reasons is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've been kind of dwelling on this verse quite a bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we're going to close up pretty quickly. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Jesus died for our sins, and the exclamation point was the resurrection. He rose again for our justification. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Why? Because he's a risen Savior. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And by the way, that's a benefit that we have too, being seated in heavenly places. And we have all the blessings that belong to Christ, belong to us. Even though it doesn't feel like it today. Yet, this is fact. Jesus knows us. He knows what we need. And he knows where we're going. And he knows when we'll get there. We don't know. But each day, though, what we need to do is not look at what we must do. Not look at our own actions. But look to the actions of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, because if we look at anything else, it can be a bleary world, can it not? Amen. The last few years have been just crazy. Crazy with pandemics and all kinds of different things going on. Troubles at home, troubles in church, troubles everywhere we go. Sounds like a Taylor Swift song sometimes. Yeah, that's trouble, trouble, trouble. That seems to be all there is. But yet, Jesus still, his death, burial, and resurrection were enough. Were plenty to satisfy us. That's why we can look. When I can't move my legs in the morning, I just think of, oh, one day. Wait a minute, change that. One moment. Oh, wait a minute, change that. 1 second. I think I'll change that. 1 millisecond, 1 microsecond. Everything could change instantly. Now, will it be for the good or for the bad? It's what faith in Jesus Christ, believing the gospel, will make that 1 millisecond and eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a millisecond if we don't trust the Lord. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I heard somebody who was accused a while back ago say, you're trying to cater to the crowd. by talking about hell. I'm like, wow, that's one way to lose friends and not influence people. But there's a 1,000-year lake of fire, or eternal lake of fire, that's waiting. In an instant, our lives can change. It's either the lake of fire by not believing the gospel, or it's eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are benefits today. Yes, great benefits to being in Christ. Amen. Go to one more place. Romans chapter 8. Now you know what verse? I think you know what verse I'm going to go to if you've been around long enough. One of my 100 favorite verses in the Bible. Verse number 1. This is a verse where I go to when I'm having a rough day. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, when you walk after the flesh, guess what happens? Condemnation. It's right here in the text. But you walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. I like that. That's a reciprocal effect. Flesh, condemnation. Spirit, no condemnation. And this condemnation that we have is usually self-condemnation. We feel like we haven't done enough. Oh, I haven't been a good Christian this week. Sounds kind of like Eeyore, huh? Oh, I failed at this. I didn't do that. Oh, me, oh my. I'm condemned of myself. See, condemnation with God was taken care of through the gospel, through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. We're no longer under any law whatsoever. Just read Romans chapter 4. We won't go there because it is almost 12 o'clock. Well, look at verse 2. We don't have the Mosaic law, but we do have one law. This law is every bit as good as the law of gravity. The law of the Spirit of life, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That's a whole law right there. Being in Christ or out of Christ. Think of a stop sign. Stop. And it says you can either take a left or right. You can reckon yourself in Christ or not in Christ. Take the wrong turn, you're going to be in this condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. No more touch not, taste not, don't do this, don't do that. You're free from all of that. But yet what happens? So many believers put themselves under these laws, bringing condemnation to itself. Let me try this. The resurrection is fact. It's my mini mic drop. Amen. And that, think of the resurrection. Think of how complete it is. Don't think of all the National Geographic movies and specials that are trying to say the resurrection never happened. It happened. How do we know? The empty tomb. You know, when they found the empty tomb, they were making the same excuses then as they make now. Somebody stole the body. All these different things. But Jesus Christ and His death, burial and resurrection is enough. It's all we need for life and godliness. And I find it so gratifying to grow in that grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't know what I'd do. I think I would have checked out if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us would want to give up if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ? But we have something better that we look for. We look. You know, Peter says, new heavens and new earth. I'm already there. As Christians, we're already seated
at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Amen. That's our happy Easter and happy Resurrection Day message. You know, so many are looking to have fulfillment in what they do. Our fulfillment is in what He has done. Amen.